Session 74, July 27, 1964. Reading from The Early Sessions, Book 2 of The Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I see that we are going to have a quiet session. In all likelihood, our sessions in this house are drawing to a close. But the house itself will be healthier for future inhabitants than it was before you came. I am glad to see that Rupert began the back exercises once more. The quietude and relaxation derived from them is excellent. Also, a certain training in concentration is achieved. This is going to be, in some respects, a relaxed session. I want to point out that the back exercises, because of the quietude and training in concentration, represents excellent practices for both of you, and for Rupert in particular. His old thyroid condition has cleared up. What remains is, again, merely habit, although it was once closely connected to a physical disorder. He is learning presently, and very well, to control this sometime condition, and it dwindles to appear only occasionally in times of stress. Daily use of those particular back exercises with their mental discipline will further aid in his development, until he will find indeed that he can not only relax at will, but even when he does not have time to will relaxation, that is, relaxation will be the built-in conditioned reflex that panic used to be. I do not mean, of course, that he will automatically turn into a jellyfish when a good fight may be called for. The use of psychological time to some large degree also performs this function. If he had set out, and he didn't, to plan a process that would enable him to use his abilities to the fullest in his writing and other fields in which he is interested, and yet to discipline himself so that he did not scatter his abilities, if he had set out on a plan toward maturity, and to set definite controls upon his sometimes too fast, out of proportion responses, he could not have found a better path than the one which he is now following. The use of full intuition with discipline and control, and a daily schedule that includes contemplation and a temporary relaxation, and slowing down of bodily processes, means he will live longer because of this, and his work will be deeper and of greater import. I mention this particularly because of his panic reactions last week at the gallery. You may include this material or not in the records as you choose. He fears authority. This fear of authority is one of the reasons for his admirable independence of mind and spirit. It is also the reason for many of his problems in the past, and to a much lesser degree in the present. His mother, representing authority to him as a child, was frightening, threatening, sometimes cruel and capricious. The child took literally the mother's statements that, though a cripple, she could walk at night, would turn on the gas jets, and so forth. The child emotionally was almost paralyzed with terror, hence the thyroid condition, hence also the child's quick motions, fast, frightened responses that were desperate defense mechanisms. The new director is a figure of authority and insists, in fact, upon being considered in such light. At once, our Rupert is like a porcupine, feeling trapped and prickling all over, eyes glaring, an attitude more prickly than a porcupine's quills. The fact that Rupert considers the man an ass helped, because Rupert could then justify his own conditioned reflex toward authority, and keep in mind other material I have given you concerning Rupert and the gallery. It is also true that during certain periods of the month, his hormones are more active, hence he inhibits, and is, a woman this time. He also turned down rather coldly the man's innocent enough invitation that you visit his home. You were indeed busy that evening, but this was not the reason for Rupert's refusal. He is bound to set himself up as aloof and superior to the man in charge. He may be superior in many ways, but certainly not in all respects, and his disdainful reactions would naturally affect the poor new director. About him I will have something to say. Nevertheless, you were right Joseph, and certainly Rupert's attitude is at least partially to blame. This indeed can be remedied, since Rupert now is wise to it. The exercises and all the other measures which he has learned will stand him in good stead. The brooding, resentful inner mulling over of gallery problems is a tip-off that the panic bomb has been set off. But in this case, he has thrown it out the window. In earlier years, such a situation was faced by Rupert in a blind panic run from one end of the continent to another. So we may say that he has improved. Jane laughed. Rob notes. Seth, again, your help was extremely beneficial. Relaxation, and in particular, occasional whole days away. That is, an occasional whole day away is excellent and well worth any inconvenience it might cause. It is extremely difficult for Rupert not to throw himself wholeheartedly and completely into whatever it is he is doing, and so it is no wonder that now and again he loses his fairly adequate detachment on a job. But then he feels himself engulfed. Do take your break. Break at 9:35. Seth, at the gallery. Rupert interprets everything now between himself and the new director in terms of implied superiority or inferiority. He can't crack a smile without fearing that this will be taken as a sign of apple polishing. Because apple polishing, of course, implies a feeling of inferiority on the part of the apple polisher. To make sure that no such impression can be given by him, he resorts to sarcasm, and upon a few occasions downright rudeness. That is bound to make the receiver less than happy. He, your director, has gamely held his ground. His insistence upon detail, Rupert takes as personal offense. The man is simply a stickler for detail. He is not rubbing Rupert's nose in every misspelled word, nor is he suggesting, as Rupert suspects, that Rupert is a mental numbskull, because he is a poor speller. Privately, your director can see no reason why anyone who is educated cannot spell properly, but he is bent over backward not to give this impression. Out of pure perversity, Rupert has refused to learn how to spell. If authority says spell a word one way, Rupert defiantly spells it another. At the same time, he chooses words as the basis for his art. Here he gets back at authority. He communicates to the authoritative world at large, original, excellent, sharp, and concise ideas through words that are consistently misspelled. I am not suggesting that he throw bouquets of or roses at his rather flowery attired male director, but he can at least hold back the daggers. You may find that the man can be most enjoyable in the future. He is extremely insecure, hiding behind compulsive attention to details. He tends them so that they will guard him. They protect him from inner impulses. They are the pickets of his fence. They hide the inner extravagance which he fears, gives in to in particularly accepted ways. He thrives on praise, so true to form, the giant killer Rupert insults him to his face. He could be vindictive if treated in this manner for long, as rejection of the type that Rupert is handing out frightens and confuses him. Rupert is usually at least fair. The man has rather glaring faults, it is true, but they are not deadly ones, nor would a bit of kindness be demeaning Rupert. He, Rupert, definitely thinks it would be. He can be extremely unbending, but I believe that this session will help matters considerably. I am speaking now of the situation as it exists in the present. Rupert was jealous for his own authority at the gallery. He did not want to accept full responsibility for the gallery, and yet he wanted definite responsibility along definite, limited lines. When he has not sold any stories or books for a while, then he looks around for other ego satisfactions in the outside world in other fields, for which he is actually not willing to pay the price. He is just not that interested in any career outside of writing. Had the ESP book been instantly grabbed up, nothing at the gallery would have bothered him. He looks for satisfaction for his ego in the outside world when it has been bruised because of a rejection slip. Torrents of energy, both constructive and aggressive, suddenly are let loose where he works, and woe to all around. He starts fighting for position and authority, for which, under ordinary circumstances, he couldn't care less. This is confusing to those who work with him. This is not to say that he does not have grievances, or that he is not worth more money, but he wants more money for prestige reasons rather than practical ones. If he is not able to see himself at all times as a successful, earning writer, then he feels like a fool in other areas also, and is suddenly enraged over situations at the gallery which, while not the best, hardly bother him at all when he is selling his writing. I have forgotten. Take your break. Run those break at 10:11. Seth, this session should certainly help clear the situation generally, and certainly help Rupert distinguish real grievances from projected ones. Rupert can, at least, be pleasant. It should also help to still his frequent triates at home against the gallery. But when his emotions do overflow or have overflown into speech, it has been beneficial, very much more so than if he had let them build up into a storm of frightening proportions. This, however, should begin to fade out. It would do no harm to invite the man for a drink in your home, though I admit that to either of you the suggestion amounts to treason of sorts. It would do you, Joseph, no harm to allow him into your house where you could size him up for yourself. One simple, well-meant invitation might be in order, and this was hell to get through with Rupert's blocks. Rob notes, Jane ended the above sentence most vigorously, shaking her finger at me. She voiced the words in an amused and forceful way. Then how did you do it? Rob asks. Seth, sheer bullheadedness on my part. The gesture would be well taken. One sign of plain friendliness on your parts would not open you up in any way. I couldn't even get my full meaning through on that sentence. Rob, again came Jane's wagging finger. Seth, it might even help Rupert to see the director when he was not in a position of authority that he felt honor bound to uphold. I did not mean to take the whole session up with private matter. Nevertheless, it is well that this material came through. There is more that I would say, but I have aroused Rupert enough for one night. He will get tense from blocking me if we continue along these lines. Rob, Jane told me after the session that she delivered these words, she abruptly realized that both her hands thrust into the pockets of her slacks were clenched tight. Indeed, she was tensing, she knew. Seth, we will resume full blast on matter and its nature at our next session. I did want to make one point. The back exercises and the subsequent calmness will hasten the time when Rupert is able to dispense with the dependence upon cigarettes. In good seasons, the natural surroundings in which your house is located will help you both, and as you learn relaxation and mental discipline, you will find more energy available for your work, for the sessions, and for the enjoyment of life in general. I have been preparing your house for you. Do not forget my suggestion that you air out the cellar. Rob, how have you been preparing the house? Seth has mentioned this before. This time I was ready with my question when he mentioned this preparation again. But all I got for my pains was a smile from Jane. Rob, Seth, in my own way. Rob, oh. Seth, I will not go into that at this time, as it involves matters which we have not discussed. If you have any other questions, you may ask them. A small note, I mentioned before that Rupert will definitely benefit from a vacation, and you should travel someplace. I suggest near or to a large body of water, most preferably the ocean. The trip to your glen helped Rupert in an amazing degree, and such small trips are excellent psychic refreshers, and also good for your work. Much of this material is not startling this evening, but it is necessary, and you will gain by taking it to heart. You know how fond I am of you both, and you have no idea of how many unfortunate possible circumstances you have avoided already by heeding my sometimes prosaic-sounding advice. I try to give you sound advice without pushing you in any direction, and this is often difficult. You will be using the possibility for good for you in this locality, as in some localities you failed to do this. I will now bid you a fond good evening. I am with you fairly often in one way or another, and my affection for you both is deep. I would most strongly recommend the back exercises, actually for you both, but definitely for Rupert. Rob. Good night, Seth. End at 10:45. Jane was dissociated as usual. My writing hand felt no fatigue.